God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
The message this morning is Light Your World. Each and every one of us have opportunities to be a blessing to the people around us. Each and every one of us have opportunities to interact with other people and to speak into other people's lives. Sometimes they're very open. It's very obvious what's going on. Other times, it's just as we go about life serving the Lord, it's a witness and a testimony to someone else. In John 8, beginning with verse 12, it says, Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Pretty straightforward. If we follow Jesus, the light of life is in us. If we are doing what the Lord has called us to do, it's going to be evident to people around us. Got a couple at the campground. Those that don't know, Deb and I work camp down at Apple Island down in South Hero, at least while we're currently living in our camper and don't have a house to move into. There's a couple in the campground, and I was talking with them, a completely unrelated thing. She doesn't like where he has the raised bed set next to their camper. She wants it moved someplace else. And I was explaining to him how it's a really good idea to make your wife happy, and it's a simple thing, and I'll be happy to do it. And I said what I've said many times, it only takes one wife to leave you to rot in a foreign jail, and you treat the next one better. And he just kind of laughed at that and says, what are you talking about? So I told him how I was a missionary in Israel, and my first wife, there was some things going on that I wasn't aware of, but how it came out was my ex-wife told some stories about me that weren't true, and by the time the police figured out it wasn't true, I had spent 72 days in jail in Israel. How I said, I told my first wife I didn't believe in divorce. If you want to get rid of me, you got to kill me. That happened. I said, that's close enough. I'm good with that. I told Debbie when we got married, I don't believe in divorce. However, I don't ever want to go through that again. So I make the effort to spoil her. So I'd had this conversation, and I talked about how I was so bitter, and I'd had to forgive my first wife and everything I'd gone through that. And a couple of days later, the guy says, I was thinking about what you said, and I know there's some areas in my life where I really need to work on forgiveness. We don't know what we're going to say or what we're going to do that's going to stir something in somebody's life. But if we're following Jesus, we're going to have the light of life in us, and we're called to use that to light the world around us. People are watching each and every day what we do. Whether we see them watching or not, they're watching. So that's why when I mess up, I have to make sure that I explain that I messed up and repent publicly. It's not just enough to say, oh Lord, I did that wrong. Because the people may see me messing up and not see me repenting. I don't do it for the display, but I know that that is also part of showing God at work in my life, is I have to be open and transparent as God works in me. In Matthew 5, beginning in verse 14. Now, in John 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you have the light in you. For those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And as I was thinking about this week, and as I was going over the scriptures, think about what Jesus says here. You are the light of the world. And he goes into it, says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world, and God is going to illuminate and highlight you, me, those of us that are following him, so that everyone around can see it. Talks about you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. If God is giving us the light of life, he is doing that so that it could be evident to the people around us. When the prophecy was coming about Jesus, and can't think of the prophet, but the people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in Zebulun and Naphtali, a great light has come. Talking about where Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, and also talking about Jesus being the light of the world. But the prophecy leading up to it says, those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Guess what? If you take a look at the newspaper, this nation is walking in great darkness. This world is walking in great darkness. This state is walking in great darkness. We are here to be lights. God has us here on purpose. I was born in Pompano Beach. I am from Hollywood, Florida. Here I am. I know a minister over in Essex who is from Benin, West Africa. I know a minister in Burlington who is from Nepal. I know a minister in Montpelier area who is from, she's from Lebanon. I know people, ministers in Vermont. If you go listen to the Light Radio Network, and they have the different pastors from all over. I'm pastor from this church. Listen to some of them twangs. They ain't from around here. God has been sending missionaries to here. God has been sending people from all over the world into the United States to share the gospel and to reach the lost. One of the, in the Old Testament, one of the words that's translated as adultery literally means highly fed and therefore wanton. In other words, having all that you need, you're not satisfied. And think about how this is a nation where, until recently, every hotel room you went in had a Bible in it. They began taking those out of there because it's no longer politically correct. You go into any bookstore, any used bookstore, any thrift store bookshelf, and you'll find Bibles. I've got more than I need. I'm getting rid of them. Bibles are readily available, and how many people actually pick it up and read it? You need lights in the midst of the darkness. And that's what we're called to be. So as we sang that last song, go light your world, that's what we're all called to do, is to let our light so shine before men. And we just read right here, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The things that we do should point people to the Father. The things that we do should say there is hope and there is life. Praise God. In Philippians 2, beginning with verse 14, this is kind of how we go about letting our light so shine before men. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Guilty? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Remember when I said people are always watching? People are looking and paying attention to what you're doing. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I think we have the crooked and perverse generation going on around us. Are we children of God without fault? Lord, help me. Lord, help us. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Remember that, going back to the city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. It's a, hello, I'm over here. We don't necessarily have to wave people down, but they're watching, they're seeing us anyway. So let us be circumspect in our walk. Let us be conscious of that, that God is at work, working through us. Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul, writing to the Philippians, he says, the things that you do, is, you know, I've told you about the gospel. I've been trying to pour into you. And as I pour it into you, let it take root, let it take effect, and recognize that you are lights in the world, that you are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, and that you are an example, and that you are pointing a way to the Father, that you are pointing a way to life. I talked a couple of weeks ago, just the other day, because I don't remember how many weeks ago or when it was, but I was talking about needing, just being stirred up, that as I see the wickedness going on, I see the opposition to the church, I see the opposition to what I know to be right, I see the opposition, the turmoil that's taking place around us. Recognizing that people are not our enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible tells us. But it's not people. That they are in bondage, they are bound, they are trapped. And some of them are willing participants, don't get me wrong. Many of them may be. Yet still, it's not my place. I'm not the one who sees their soul, and I don't know what's coming on. But we have a warning. It goes all the way back in Job. Job 18, beginning with verse 5. And I want you to listen to this description. Read it on the thing. And think about the people around us that are in darkness. The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and the snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Terrors frighten him on every side and drive him to his feet. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. I want you to think about that right now. Those people around us that don't know the Lord, those people around us who don't have assurance of salvation, that haven't surrendered their lives, that are still going on, there's a way that seems right unto man, but his ends thereof are the ways of destruction. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Or like the children of Israel, everyone did that which was right in his own eyes, but none turned to follow the Lord. We see that going on around us. But even back in Job, they recognized that there is a snare, there is a trap, and they are in bondage. They are caught. Their strength is failing. Their destruction is at their side. These are the people around us. These are the people we are called to shine our light to. These are the people that have no hope, and they need to know that we serve a God who takes a messed up person like Andrew and changes his life. That takes takes the hopeless, the helpless, those in bondage, and delivers them and sets their lives free. Makes a whole new person out of them. I told you before, when I was first connecting with some of my old Navy buddies and people that have known me for years, there is no one in Vermont that has known me for more than 25 years. No one. That's how long I've been up here. There's no one in the state that knew me when I got here. No one in Vermont has known me for longer than 25 years. So no one in Vermont knew me before I started serving the Lord. But when the people who knew me back then found out, they're like, wait a minute, you are a preacher? You? Let me tell you about the goodness and mercy of God that takes the most miserable, the most wicked person around and touches and changes their life. Let me tell you about the mercy of God who reaches into the miry clay and lifts us up. We are called to be lights because of the great work God has done. Deb's happy to tell people that had she known me back then, she wouldn't know me now. I don't blame her. Not at all. I was mean. I was vindictive. I was wicked. But I serve a God who touches and changes hearts and lives. How can I not proclaim that to the people around me? How can I not try to be a light and try to bring hope? How can I not, when I see people wrapped in bondage, try to reach out to them, try to build bridges, try to bring hope into their life? Let me tell you about Jesus. Or let me tell you about a life that's been transformed. Well, how did that life get transformed? Well, now let me tell you about Jesus. Begin walking out the newness of life, being conscious and conscientious to do it and to share it with the people around us. 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 16, says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountains. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." Peter says, look, I was there when Jesus was transfigured. Now, we weren't there when Jesus was transfigured. None of us were standing there on that mountain. We have the account. We have the eyewitness account, and we have the confirmation in our spirit. But what we can declare is that God touches and changes hearts. God makes all things new. God heals the broken. God sets free the captive. God breaks the chains of bondage. We can walk in that and share that because we've experienced it, because we've seen it. We can declare it to the people around us. It says, you'll do well to take heed that. As the light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Until we see the manifestation of God in our lives. Until we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit all around us. Until we see lives being changed. Until we see people walking, believers, people, followers of God, walking down the street and their shadow falling on the cripples. And they're being healed. The things that God has done beforehand, He's shown He can do. Jesus said, "The works that I do, greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father." I want to see it, not because it'd be something cool to see, but because my Bible tells me I should expect it. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them."
That's right.
Now there's groups I know you've heard of down in Appalachia and other places where the Bible says, "I can take up serpents, so I'm going to go pick up a snake." My Bible says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I'm not suggesting that we do that. What I'm saying is, God can do anything. Scripture tells us that the whole creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. If we are the children of God, born of the Holy Spirit, filled with new life, how can we be satisfied with all of the hurt and pain and wickedness around us? How can we be satisfied? We are called to be lights and to make a difference. What are we doing to make a difference? It can be a simple thing, but by faith, we should expect and hope and plan for God to work and to fulfill His word. Going into other countries where, actually, I have the flyer. Actually, not the flyer, but the bulletin from way back when Paul and Esther Ayo were here. Paul and Esther are from Ivory Coast, West Africa. Places like that where witchcraft is common. ministers from Haiti where voodoo and witchcraft is common. It's also common for believers to go in and the power of God break the chains of darkness because they know God is able. They know the spiritual things are real and the power of God is also real. But if in this country where everything is explained by science, everything is explained by this, you know, supernatural doesn't really exist, or that's the crackpots over there. I was driving down the road in Atlanta. So we were talking 28 or so years ago, something like that. I'm driving down the road in Atlanta, and a car pulled out in front of me and stopped. And I had no room to stop. And all of a sudden, I could look right next to me in the seat, and I see the hood of the car going right by. I don't know which one God turned immaterial, but there is absolutely no way for me to have avoided that accident. Now, why doesn't God do it every time? I don't know. But I know God can do anything. When I was 12 years old, in the church that I grew up in, I grew up in a Pentecostal Holiness church down in South Florida. We had a visiting minister come in, and his right eye had been torn out in a farm accident. A piece of baling wire took his eye right out of his head. And he only had one eyeball, and they put a patch over that one eyeball and taped it up. And I watched him read my father's driver's license. We had never seen this man before. He came to speak. He was a tall gentleman. But he came to speak, and at the end of it he said, "If I had told you that I lost my eye and God gave me a new eye, you'd say, 'Praise the Lord, brother, that's wonderful.'" He said, "You will remember this." It was 50 years ago. I remember this man reading my father's driver's license. What can't God do? What can't God do through you? We're called to be lights in this world. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 3, says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine in the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." God has put His light in us and given us a command to share it, to given us a command to let that light so shine. What can't God do? The God who spoke light and there was light, the God who spoke things into existence, what can't He do? Final passage, James 5, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and will cover the multitude of sins." We are called to be lights because people around us are dying and going to hell each and every day. We are called to let our light so shine before men that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We are called to be examples, living testimonies of what God can do. God knew me, knew you, knew all of us from our mother's womb, knew all of, David said, "All of my days are written in the book before ever any of them were." God knew the path and the course of our life. And God doesn't waste anything. He knew even how messed up I was going to be. And the fact that having gone through that, I'll have compassion on others. Having gone through that, I'll know the power of God. Having gone through that, I can say there is nothing God can't do. My God can do all things. And my God is faithful. Song we sang earlier, even when he doesn't send a miracle, even when it doesn't happen like I thought he would, I still know my God is faithful. He is willing. He is able. I still know my God is still good. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us, that you redeemed our lives from destruction. And Lord, as you've called us to be lights in the midst of the darkness, Father, we thank you, Lord, that even that is your grace and your mercy working in us. Help us, Father, to be faithful witnesses, a faithful witness that will not lie, a faithful witness that is steadfast, a faithful witness, Lord, that always points the way back to the truth. That we point our way to you in all that we do, that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, that you be glorified in our lives, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, that you be glorified in all things. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.